For the record, this is the board meeting with the NROASO and RRIS.
Thank you. And we're up and running. Good. So, again, welcome everybody. This is the time in which the board, although some of the board, we're getting a little ragged and fractured at this point in the week. Anyway, which the board has quality time with you all. I see. The standard thing that I say is we look forward to this time. This is the time in which we can get into direct substantive interactions, even though the time is short, but we have a lot of history, a lot of context, and so we can just sort of jump in and speak directly. Part of what the board has been doing is stepping up our game in recording what we hear, echoing back what we think we've heard and what we plan to do about it, and then at the next session, next meeting, reporting on what we actually did compared to what we said. We started that last time, so you'll see tomorrow afternoon our reporting on what we did versus what we said we were going to do last time, plus what we've heard this time, which will then be augmented by the tail end of the meeting and reported on formally after the close of sometime next week or so, you know, several days after the close of the meeting. So we sent out some questions, but I have to say we're a lot more interested in the things that are on your mind. So with that, let me turn things over to you. Who wants to speak first?
I can. So
we can.
We don't have. I don't see transcribing going on, or it's not being protected. But the formality, I guess, is we should announce ourselves. Even though John, your voice is very distinctive.
Steve, don't you usually go around and say who's attending?
Yeah, we do. Thank you. I need help from my friends here. thank you, Elise. So let's do that. Let me start down at the end with you, Milton.
Using the mic, if you could.
Admitting? I admit that I am Milton Mueller of Syracuse University.
Thomas Narton.
Dmitry Burkov, Ripon C.
Mark Morrow.
Leslie Nobile with Aaron.
Paul Vixie, Aaron.
Bertrand de la Chapelle from the board.
Elise Garrick, ICANN.
John Curran, CEO of Aaron, and I am this year's chair of the Number Resource Organization.
Goy Wu is ICANN board and also elected by ASO.
Louis Lee, ASO Address Council Chair.
Adam Gosling, ASO Secretariat.
Ray Polsak, ICANN Board, selected by the ASO.
Steve Crocker, ICANN Board.
Adiel Aplogon, CEO of FRENIC.
Akinem Maimura, the Chair of the APNIC Executive Council.
Tomohiro Fujisaki, ASO AC Member from APNIC.
Barbara Roseman, ICANN Policy Support.
Leo Goda, ICANN.
Right. Dmitry Kochmanek, pending IC member, effective next year, Housemaster Ukraine.
Brendan Kerbis, University of Toronto.
Megan Bishop, ICANN board support.
Bill Graham, ICANN board.
Axel Pavlik, RIPE NCC.
Wilfried Weber, on the Address Council for the RIPE region.
Wilson Adegawa, from the AFRINIC region.
Chris Chimanga, Lee from the African region and .cd manager.
Paulus Nyerenda, AFRINIC board.
You guys who are hiding back there, you want to?
Mohamed Dilp, former ICANN board and member from AFRINIC region.
Denise Michelle, ICANN staff.
Raimundo Baker, former ICANN board, and last year I was the reviewer of the ASO.
Dan Alexander, Comcast here.
Good. Were you able to catch that, Scribes? Raul, I don't know if we can hear you, but I understand you're on Skype. Raul Echeverry?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, loud and clear, too. That's great.
Hi. Paul Wilson also.
I'm Paul Wilson?
No.
No. The answer is no. Paul Wilson, not. All right. Well, again, thank you. Welcome. It's a pleasure to see all of you. John.
There was a list of items that was sent from the board, and I'll go through those and have some other items that we wanted to point out to the board. So we have about six or seven items. So one of the item questions asked by the board, any additional input on the Who Is Policy Team, Policy Review Team final report? Just want to say the ASO is aware of the final Who Is Policy Review Report. We note that we had a participant on that team, and we intend to continue to follow ICANN communities pursuing that report and its output. You folks are active in a number of areas, such as data validation and RAA, and will, as we noted before, initiate similar discussions in our communities regarding handling the IP Who Is data once you've settled those matters here. Or the other Who Is. I think it's better to have one of those in motion and get it to some convergence rather than two in flight at once. So,
Ray, do you want to make your standard speech about Who Is and so forth?
Well, the standard speech that Steve is referring to is that this report actually is a report on the GTLD Who Is. It has not anything to do with the Who Is services associated with country code, nor does it have anything to do with the two versions of Who Is that are run in most of the regions. And so I believe that in the language that you'll see in the board response, you'll see that it specifically is going to be saying GTLD Who Is.
And that makes perfect sense.
But you're saying, to sort of augment what Ray has just said, you're saying that nonetheless your plan is to watch the developments there and then to move along in a presumably related course, if not identical.
Right. When ICANN converges on its GTLD Who Is status, we'll draw attention to that in our communities and say this is what's happening with GTLD Who Is. We don't have a global policy for our Who Is, or even some of us have regional policies, but we'll bring attention to the community. The community may initiate policymaking at that point. We don't know.
Let me dive in for just a second. You're CEO of Aaron, so if we just look at your region, you have a Who Is policy. Do you want to offer up any comments about how well Who Is works in your environment compared to the list of issues that are commonplace in the GTLD environment?
To be clear, we do have some directory services policy in our network resource policy manual in the Aaron region, but those policies are not as crisp and clear, nor do they match the Who Is recommendation number one for a clear Who Is policy of the final report. So we do have some items that would be considered Who Is policy, but it's not as drawn out and clear as that report would call for. Regarding the actual subjects, the actual cooperation, we actually enjoy very good cooperation with law enforcement, very good cooperation with governments, there hasn't been any difficulty with respect to that has been brought up systematically. So I think it's a little better understood in the IP Who Is. These are generally entries that are either put directly by an IRR, an LIR / ISP, and they're used operationally. So it's not, it's similar, but we haven't had the same level of people. People don't create address blocks by the tens of thousands and then make them disappear a month later. You have some unique circumstances in DNS.
The latter part of what you just covered is sort of basically refers to, but not quite explicitly, the purpose for having an address, for having, for collecting that information and for and how you make it available, which echoes in some respects the question that ESSAC has asked quite explicitly. What is all this for and is it serving purpose and so forth? I take it from what you're saying that you haven't fully articulated exactly what it's for, but if you did, you'd find yourself in good shape.
There's a community understanding of what it's for in the address community. It is not written down clearly, and as I said, I think that once some of the questions of data validation and data requesting are settled, that might provide us some insight in the IP community. But right now we have a working system, and we don't want to try to launch a second parallel discussion while you're having the discussion with governments and law enforcement.
I was actually hoping to turn this around the other way, in which we could learn from the rather smoother environment that you have. And so I'll just speak personally, not officially as on behalf of the board or ICANN, but it occurs to me that if you were willing to attempt to write down in the language that ESSAC laid out, what is it for and what problems does this address or what purposes does it serve, that would be a welcome contribution to the community discussion. And I hope it wouldn't drag you into an endless morass in your own area.
I recognize the desire. to actually do that, recognize we do have an advantage and a disadvantage on how we're structured. The advantage is that there's a number of people around this table who could probably write a few paragraphs and say, that's what I think that is. But to get that definitively from the address community would require going to 5 RIRs and getting identical text out. So you might see it sometime later than you wanted it.
I'd be happy to take individual opinions without any official status, just expressed from the perspective of, this is what it looks like from where I'm sitting.
I think we can arrange to have that beat up at least by the RIR staffs, but it would have no standing per se.
And equally, it wouldn't have to be from all of them. It could be yours or anybody else who was so moved to feel like so. I would encourage input, but doesn't have to be at the high level of formality.
Right. I have taken the point.
Yeah.
One important distinction about the who is that's in the regional registries is that not all of the entries in the who is represent transactions between the registry and the persons who have data in there. The distinction is that in some cases it's a result of a person who has received or an organization who has received address blocks from the registry, and their sub-delegations are now put in there. And the other distinction, which is really more prevalent in the Aran region, is the fact that there's persons in the WHOIS or organizations, their address blocks are in the WHOIS, but that address space was not allocated by Aran. It was allocated pre-regional registry. And so that's a different distinction. So whereas the GTLD WHOIS is more a record, if you will, of the transactions between the registry and its customers, consumers, whatever, that's not the case in the regional registries.
I also like to update the information, particularly in the APNIC, because APNIC we have NIR. And they basically, those of the issues are running by the local governments.
Any other comments on the subject? We've gone into, we've used up several minutes on this, but usefully, I think. Next topic.
Okay. Next topic that the board raised is input and comments on the security, stability, resiliency of the DNS review team final report, quote, as we attend to vote on this at the Thursday board meeting. The ASO applauds this effort and does not have concerns with the report.
And let me say, we're not going to vote on it tomorrow. We're taking a a careful, deliberate process, which we will explain tomorrow and give a report on where we are. When that question was written, was a little ahead of where we actually are.
Got it. The next item is any feedback on responses to the call for input on impact of the new GTLD program on ICANN structure and processes and discussion on how to move forward. This is fairly orthogonal to the ASO, but we wish you the best of luck in your endeavors. We do, as we noted in the last meeting that we had, we do note that this will bring on new registries and registrars. We note that there's been discussion in the past about making sure those registries and registrars are IPv6 capable. We encourage continued efforts in that area. But otherwise, we see this as being an item that is moving ahead, separate and distinct from the ASO with good reason.
Thank you for your wishes of good luck.
Next item raised from the...
Bertrand.
Thank you very much. I happen to be the Kickstarter of this topic, and I'd like to make two comments.
I'm getting myself.
Whoop. two comments on that point. The first thing is that we had a breakfast this morning with the chairs of the ASOs and ACs, and Louis was very kind to come and participate to basically deliver this message that we appreciate. What I want to say is that Jeff Newman made a very interesting comment in this discussion, saying that we have devoted a lot of attention in the ICANN space to policies around new GTLDs and so on, and not enough around operations. And it really struck a chord, because all those new operators are going to come in. They will be part of a system that is at the service of everybody. And they will have performance constraints, competence requirements, things where they will need all the capacity to tap into the expertise and the networks. So one of the things that I just wanted to insert after this is to keep in mind the operational part and the measure to which the new operators, some of which are actually old operators with new activities, by the way, but the new operators will be part of a general technical ecosystem that may be of interest for you to follow, to interact with, and so on. And the second thing, which is more an interest for the exercise itself, is that scaling is clearly connected to subsidiarity. You cannot scale if you don't distribute responsibilities. And at the moment, we have a system where we have the ASO, the CCs, and the Gs, and the importance of the role of ICANN in policy making is just like a curve like this. The policy in the ASO and the address space is mostly outside and brought in the environment of ICANN. In the CCs, a little bit is being done in the CCNSO, but a lot at the national level. In the Gs, it's so immensely concentrated in the activities of the GNSO itself inside ICANN that I'm afraid it's not able to scale unless we ask the question of the distribution of the responsibilities at the different layers. And in that regard, it would be very interesting in the debate to tap the expertise of how you organize your own networks and subnetworks, and whether it can be, there can be an inspiration from there. That's the reason why I think it's important you're part of it.
Good to know. If there is a structural discussion of how ICANN's organized and how things differ between the GTLD domain policy creation and the address policy creation, I think the RIRs would be happy to participate in that. Let's see, I can't quite see the agenda.
I think Ray wants to add a word as well.
Yeah, when Jeff brought that thing up this morning, I pointed out to him that there are operator organizations in the regional registries. They're called NOGs, and every region's got some form of one or more than one, and that periodically those NOGs and the regional registry policy forums tend to intersect in terms of meetings and so forth. And so you have an organization that exists clearly outside of the policy structure, clearly outside of the ICANN structure. However, there is an interface that does exist, and so there is that cross-fertilization. To that end, I think it would be good if those successful pieces of things that are done inside the addressing world were held up as saying, that this is the way we do business, because as you see the inputs come out, they'll be struggling about how to deal with some of these issues, you know, such as how do you really get consensus? How do you determine consensus in a policy process? That, you know, those kinds of issues, the GNSO solves it by voting, okay? And that may not be the way to go when you start seeing your bodies get very large. So, and the matter of NOGs, there's a few other things. But so I would ask that perhaps you do a little bit of introspection and see where the things that you do that are successful can be not offered up as this is the solution, but this is what works for us.
Point taken. Thank you. Worth doing. The last item that we got from the board was seeking input on whether the community sees a need for policy with respect to declaring patents in the policy development process or contract negotiations. And we didn't have much time to talk about this as a group, but it's noted that ICANN is an important oversight body to this process and should set clear expectations that policy or standards development should be that's done within the various organizations in the ICANN system should be free of patent restrictions, or that such patent issues should be declared prior to policy development. I think it's ICANN's role to make sure that happens. We note, however, that the specific procedures by which that occurs might need to be left to your individual supporting organizations. In our case, our policy formation process is regionalized, and that is where those declarations would need to initiate as opposed to how it's happened in, for example, the GNSO. So I think the need that occurs is a valid concern and one that the board needs to worry about. But you, again, considering the diversity of the structure of ICANN, you need to be a little careful about setting mechanisms, because they may not be uniformly applicable. The mechanisms may have to be set by the individual supporting organizations.
We're in raising that question. We does not signal that we're on the cusp of imposing anything or making any pronouncement. The questions come up, and we haven't settled down to anything. But Your response causes me to put a request back to you. In addition to this discussion, I know that you're well aware that in places like the IETF, this is there's been a lot of development, a lot of effort, and you're probably a lot more familiar with the details than I am. Even it would be helpful, quite helpful, to the deliberations that have to take place going forward, to understand if it were left to you, and basically it is, and by you I don't just mean you personally, but to the address supporting organization in all the regions, what would be an appropriate approach that takes into account the basic issue and takes into account the regional structure and the variations in laws and culture and so forth. And you may be in a good position to put forth a coherent picture of how best it would play in yours, and that would probably be very helpful and informative for the other parts of the structure that we have here.
We hear and take on that assignment.
It'd be much appreciated, really.
That's the end of the list we got from the board. We had just two things to note. One is that the structure of the ASO includes an executive council, which is from the NRO, and includes the advisory council, which is the elected body that works on global policy. The executive council deals and exists in addition to my chair of the address council, Louis Lee. The executive council deals a lot with ICANN in particular the chairman does. I am the chairman this year, but that will change between now and the next ICANN meeting. And we wanted to bring out the, just note the fact that our officers will change at the beginning of the year. Chairmanship will go to Paul Wilson of APNIC. Secretary will be Adiel. The treasurer will be Axel. And myself and Raul will simply be members of the NRO executive team. So as of January, you'll be dealing with Louis, and you'll be dealing with Paul Wilson, and just wanted to bring that to your attention. We still talk to each other, so.
Thank you. So two things. One is congratulations on your successful term, and congratulations on getting out of it smoothly, right? And
thank you.
You know, we all know everybody in this room and wears multiple hats and has served and served and served on various things, so we understand the you know, while there's fulfillment, there's also energy and stress, and so along with the rest of the community, we add our thanks. Let me put a very small ask on the table. I've been spending a lot of my time looking at our processes and sequence of things and trying to find the places to fine-tune, hone the rough edges and so forth. And I'm conscious that one of the details is that you guys don't cause very much trouble, so we don't pay very much attention to you. And so there is an element of sort of a little less familiarity. As you pointed out, there's an executive council, there's an address council. I suspect that if we subjected most of the board to a blue book test, that we'd fail. Let me suggest that a helpful small thing would be that when you make that transition, send us a formal note with that announcement, and we'll use that to circulate. This is what it's my commitment to circulate within the board and within the staff, and use that as a refreshing or teaching moment, depending upon which is needed on everybody, and raise the visibility and familiarity.
We shall do so.
Yeah.
I only have one final item. We give a presentation at the beginning of the week at ICANN where we point out the address policy issues that are going on in the various regions, where our upcoming meetings are, how to attend in person, and how to participate remotely. It's sort of the engagement report for people who are interested in address policy issues, because they're going to be dealing with domain issues for the next 5 days. We take a little slice and we give a report telling them predominantly, our policy development is happening in regional meetings closer to the parties actually affected, the ISPs, the local registries, the national registries. In the last report we gave at the last ICANN meeting, someone stood up and said there were concerns that the Internet registry system wasn't appropriately considering the needs of the legacy address holders, and that this should be discussed. We don't have a great mechanism for that, but it was felt that it's better to have a session to talk about that than not. So based on that concern that was raised, we do have a session today that will be taking place. I think it's 3:00, which is a multi-stakeholder discussion on concerns of legacy address holders with the Internet Number Registry System. And I just call that to attention. As I said, we don't engage in policy development per se at ICANN, but we do see it as a valid vehicle for multi-stakeholder discussion. I want to raise that to the board's attention. That's all I have.
And there will be some discussion about this, starting with Milton and Ray and anybody else?
Thomas.
And Thomas, too? No.
Well, it's it's somewhat tangentially related to the legacy issue, but I noticed that your first agenda item was really talking about the Who Is review team, and we had a representative on that review team and know that basically it didn't deal with IP address Who Is at all. And I think there's a lot of concern about that, partly coming from legacy holders, and it might be interesting for ICANN to have a general comment on some of the IP address Who Is issues as we go forward, we have resources moving around interregionally as well as domestically or regionally, and some of the accuracy issues related to IP address who is, which I've heard a lot of complaints about. Is it possible for ICANN to have a just a general call for comment, public comment on IP address who is?
Well, I think we had a general call for comment on the WHOIS report. So the question that I was formulating as I was listening to you was, did anybody speak to this point during the public comment process? Why not? I'll just leave that hanging there, and let me move on. Let me take Thomas first, and then Ray, and then over here, and then I'll come back to John.
Yeah, I guess the first thing I just say is the session you mentioned this afternoon sounds pretty interesting, and regrettably the board is tied up and won't be there. But I'll review the transcript and so forth. But I mean, one of the points that Milton brings up, I think, is we've gotten a few questions about what is the scope of the WHOIS review and whether it really should cover all of WHOIS, including address space, or just the domain name system. I think the assumption has been it was really only intended to cover the domain name system, but it would be probably good to clarify that definitively. So we can answer the question once and for all instead of having to sort of mumble, you know, should we be looking at addressing or not?
Right, and as we noted, and I asked Ray to make his standard speech on this subject, to focus attention on the fact that that was a GTLD-oriented report. Let me also note that Fatih Shahadi has joined us. Welcome. Where are we, Ray?
John, if you could, Milton touched on one aspect of problems with the legacy address space. Could you maybe highlight some of the other issues that have been occurring over the years with regards to the administration, if you will, of legacy address space, and what things have been done in the past to work through those issues?
So I'm gonna comment on Milton's comment and then pick up your response. First, I think Milton raises a very important point. I think there's an equal potential for issues regarding IP who is that should be discussed. But again, the question is, when you're in the middle of a discussion regarding data acquisition, validation, and publication, privacy rights, and law enforcement, and you already have one discussion screen going on that, it might be good to learn from that and then kick off a discussion specifically on IP who is, because I think the lessons learned out of that might be beneficial and would help facilitate the second discussion. I do believe that it's a multi-stakeholder community issue. It deserves to be discussed, and it's global. It's not the parties using who is are in some parts of the globe, the parties keeping the information are in another. It is not a regional issue per se. So it's a very worthwhile point. Regarding legacy addresses, I think a lot of this will come up at 3 o'clock. There is a lot of different assumptions regarding the applicability of the regional registries to the management of legacy address space, or even the applicability of the ICANN system to the management of the address space. And so based on different strongly held beliefs, you're going to end up with a very exciting discussion. The regional registries, Aaron, I can speak to our practices directly. I know there's also legacy space in the RIPE region if Axel wants to comment. But in our region, we have encouraged normalization of relations, meaning we've encouraged such parties to enter into a legacy agreement which provides certain rights and responsibilities, and we're trying to bring all parties in the system into a contracted relationship. But that's a voluntary activity. We offer them the ability to do that. We actually offer them the ability to update their contact information in the who is without entering into an agreement. The things we don't allow is we don't allow movement of address space between organizations or breakup of address blocks contrary to the community policy, and that's contentious. That is an item that is contentious in the Aaron region, has gotten a lot of attention. Google is your friend, or Bing. Just type in legacy Aaron policies, and you'll be inundated with input. So I do expect this topic will be an interesting discussion at 3 o'clock. I think that it is a It's a topic that is very appropriate for the ICANN system. We do have to be a little careful because we do have an MOU with ICANN that specifies that policymaking is something that's done according to a global policy development process, and that involves the regions. We don't want to disenfranchise. We have some 15,000 organizations that are members of the RIRs and have relations with us. We don't want to have a second policy process running here when we've agreed to one that takes place in the regions across the globe. So that's the only concern, is balancing those needs for discussion and following our existing policy process.
Great. We have Wilfried and Raul on the phone. Wilfried first.
Yeah, Wilfried, and this time with my legacy head of the RT4 team. Just for the record, we had a very substantial discussion about the mandate of this review team, and it became totally clear that we had a very narrow mandate, and this mandate is actually confined to the GTLD environment. The reason why I personally volunteered to be on this team is because I'm in our region one of the co-chairs of the database working group, which is actually responsible for the oversight of the machinery for all the IP number registration thingies. And as John has already pointed out, there is a good reason to track the development, and there's also a very good reason to track the developments in the IETF, for example, and in some other ballparks. What I would not like to happen and what I would not like to see here is that we try to unbundle the whole thing, because we had a very tight schedule for RT4. The final report was submitted. Everyone and her dog had the regular possibilities to track this development and also to submit comments. And I personally, not in my capacity as an old member of this team, but just as an internet citizen, I would advise against trying to reopen the discussion about the mandate and what this is all about. If anyone sees a need to do something else, either separately, next to it, on top of it, I think ICANN is providing a very fine environment to start that activity. But please don't try to derail the procedure, the team's development that we had on the table. And this team has submitted its final report. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Raul, thanks for being so patient. Raul, are you there?
Hi, you hear me?
Yes, very well.
Ah, okay. I started to speak, but I forgot that I was in mute. just about a comment about the legacy holders. Milton says that there are a lot of concerns. I just wanted to point out that this is not exactly true. I think that at least this is probably his opinion, but not necessarily the. I agree with that. I think that's what is true is that some people have some concerns about this this issue. But, for example, in other regions, we have dealt with those concerns in a very smooth way. We don't have any record now that some people would be unhappy or concerned about anything. And as John said, thousands of organizations and many legacy holders among them have a formal relationship with the RIRs. So I think that I agree also with John's in other point that he raised, that it is important that if there are concerns, it is important to have a public discussion. And so I hope that this this meeting today will be very helpful. But while it is important to recognize that there could be some concerns, it is also important to be precise in the dimension of those concerns. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you, Louis.
Thanks, Steve. I might add that some of these concerns or issues had been raised and dealt with as part of policy development. The transfer policies, for instance, were developed as a result of the need to transfer addresses both within region and between regions. So there is a demonstrated activity that had occurred that addressed concerns of that nature.
Thank you. Milt?
Just a quick response to Raul. Raul said he agreed that there should be a public comment period on who is, and that's the point that I was making. So apparently he disagrees with me even when he agrees with me. So I think we should just leave it at that. If we are in agreement that we have a public comment period, then we're fine.
Further discussion?
We're happy to meet with you as always.
My goodness, what are we going to do with these extra minutes?
End the meeting.
I'm told the board members get a small amount of email. You can use these 10 minutes to catch up with it.
Thank you for the permission. There's coffee.
Can I comment one thing? Because very soon in the November, we have IGF in the Baku meetings.
Yes.
And I know there is, IR will be there, and ICANN, the board, and the staff will be there. I don't know if there any opportunity for us somehow in the Baku to meet together. You know, I'm talking about, our information we get, or, you know, exchange an idea, something like that.
How many of us are going to be in Baku? Thanks. Half the room. Thanks.
For a workshop in Baku, Jeff Houston and I are co-moderating a panel on RIR address allocation and particularly focusing on interregional transfers. The schedule is set now, but I don't know exactly what day it's on. But there will be a main session also on dealing with IP address issues.
Good. Thank you. All right. With that, sorry.
Hello, everyone. I don't need to add more words. I think you've heard enough from me, and so I thank you for giving me the mic, but just to let you know that I'm getting educated as I go about your role and what you do. And the one thing that I'm super clear on is that this is the one part of the community, not of ICANN, of the community, that works. So it works very well. I wish I could make the rest of what I was just entrusted to do work as well as you do. You do your job very well. You come to us with very well-formulated policies and consensus. That's remarkable. You're a good example of how the Internet works. Now, maybe from the outside, that's how it looks. I'm sure on the inside you have stories I don't need to know. But by the time, this is the measure of a good family. You know, things happen within the family, but when we deal with the world, it just from what I've seen and what I've been briefed on, it's impressive. So I thank you for your work. I assure you that I understand this important distinction between your role and our role, and the respect that I will continue to have and my organization will have for your work and its separateness. Having said that, I'm here for you. If ICANN can be of use to you, this is our job. We're at your service more than anything else. And I did say in some fora, and John and I had good opportunities to talk about this, this is less about ICANN and about really all of us making this enterprise work. And I will live by that. And as we go out to Baku and to Dubai and to the world to face a world that, in my opinion, largely does not understand our world, maybe also some of them understand it too well and are either jealous or want a piece of it. But aside from that, it's also there's a lot of misunderstanding. There's a lot of misunderstanding. I will tell you the intervention Ram Mohan and I and others had with the ministers from India in Budapest less than 10 days ago. Just proved to us in the span of an hour that they don't know. They don't understand the great work we all put. And the good news is within an hour we were able to get India, a country that has very clearly in international fora stood against our model, to announce publicly, as you've seen in the India in the Hindu Times, publicly the minister of this area, Minister Pilot, that they're now going to embrace internet governance and ICANN. I mean, this is remarkable. And his people just met with us and are starting a multi-stakeholder team in India to actually work with us on internet governance. This is publicly announced by India's government. This is what understanding and engagement will do. Now, I need your help. I know how close you are to your regions. And I want to assure all of you, Raul first, because I want to make sure this is clear to everybody. We will not do things in your regions without full coordination with you. You understand your regions. You understand the needs in your regions. So I've instructed Sally Costerton and Tarek Kamel, who are my two new engagement officers, to work with you closely, to make sure we understand, and before we do one thing, to make sure we've reviewed these plans with you, and we've understood how to do better, and to cooperate, and to engage with you. So that's my commitment to you. And again, thank you again, and I'm here for you. Anything we can do, and you know to reach to me, and to my team.
Thank you, Fadi. That's excellent. Two other things come quickly to mind. One is in about a week and a half, it will be a LACNIC 10th anniversary celebration. A few of us, Ray and Gonzalo and I from the board, will be there. You'll be there, Elise, so we'll have a party. I'm looking forward to that very much. And Rodrigo. Yeah, I'm certain he'll, if he can get a visa. No. Internal joke. The other thing is, with your permission, Elise and Fadi, one of the people who actually makes things work and that we're conscious of, and I'm sure he gets far less attention and recognition, is Leo Vigoda, who's probably better known to all of you than he is to many of the ICANN staff. Some of us actually know that it's through his good efforts that we're able to provide service to you. And if I've got the wrong picture, tell us on the side. But I think, yeah. Anyway, thank you, Leo.
Thank you, Leo. Thank you.
Yeah.